Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about King Kong.
2005.
Yeah. I saw this movie in the theater.
Me too.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I got to the theater late because when I'm watching it, I don't remember all this like stock footage of animals at the beginning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think by the time that we got to the movies, I think it was basically it was like around the vaudeville act, I think.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so there's like the beginning montage of like industrial New York, gray, and then like
depression
on the street. Yeah, yeah. The showbiz montage. So it was like all the poor people, all the people like, you know, beggars on the street and all that kind of, you know, the homeless people, and then people in theaters, mm-hmm. you know, doing slapstick comedy and stuff.
Yeah. What did you think when you first saw the movie, like way back then? Were you like, that was awesome? Or were you like, that was too long? Or were you, they didn't get the Kong fast enough? Was it like that? Like, because for me, I feel like it was like kind of like that.
Like they didn't get to Kong fast enough?
Yeah.
I think I remember digging it.
Yeah.
I think I liked it a lot. Kongs make me leave sad and quiet.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of no different.
And this one was set up in such a way where they really wanted you to sympathize with Kong.
It's definitely, I think, the most sympathetic to Kong that there is.
Yeah.
For sure.
I liked this movie when I saw it. It is a bummer ending. I mean, obviously it's the same ending, but it's Kong is definitely not the villain in this. But like watching it this time, I really liked it a lot.
I loved it.
I think enough time has passed where I don't know what it was about when I saw it the first time where I was like, oh, I love Lord of the Rings and I like Peter Jackson movies at the time. What's crazy is, so like I watched the 3 hour and 20 minute version, and it takes, I think, what did I say, 45 minutes until they get to Skull Island.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me at all this time, but then that's like as soon as they get to Skull Island, it's like over 2 hours of nonstop bugs, yeah, and dinosaurs and monsters.
So much going on, and it's kind of like the original Kong is kind of like that too.
Yeah.
That once they get there, like the dinosaurs that show up, it's nonstop. As soon as like a moment, you have a moment of breath, you realize, oh no, there's something right there now.
Yeah.
And this did that so well.
Yeah.
I mean, just one example, thinking of like when she's sitting there resting and you realize the head and gnarly teeth of another one of those, what do they call him? He's not a T-Rex. They kind of, he's because they gave a whole made up. Oh, I just ordered a book that came out in 2005. Mm-hmm. That was called, man, it's like the natural history of Skull Island.
Oh, okay.
And it goes through all the different creatures there, basically.
Is it like the Weta designs and stuff?
Yeah. Oh. It's put out by Weta.
Okay, I'm going to have to see that.
It's a collectible, so I'm paying more than I would. World of Kong, A Natural History of Skull Island by the Weta Workshop. And because like people, the reviews on it are really good. That's like really great pictures. Mm-hmm. And it's written like it's a textbook or like a,
oh, like a field like, notes.
Yeah. It's written like, cool. Yeah. So it's kind of like gives you like the different types of animals in there. And I think that's pretty great. Mm. Yeah. Vastatosaurus Rex.
Hmm.
So I think that's what they call them.
The
potato, because he's part potatoes.
Potatoes. Okay, yeah. So I loved it. I loved it. And
opening montage of the acts, the of the different vaudeville acts. Uh-huh. The people who are contortionists, that they're bent around, that their heads come in between their legs,
yeah,
at their butts,
uh-huh,
and they are playing ukuleles.
Yes.
Amazing.
I'm assuming Peter Jackson did a casting call in New Zealand and got like any crazy act he could find.
Any circus people he could find.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, brilliant.
Anti-circus people?
Any circus.
Anti-circus? He is two parts.
You know what's so great? Yeah, the fact that now we know who Andy Serkis is and what he looks like.
Yeah.
And that we've used to seeing him outside of mocap, that I go, oh, holy crap, the cook.
Yeah. Yeah. Is his name Charlie in it? Or is he just the the cook?
No, he has a name.
Yeah.
He definitely
It was Lumpy. He was Lumpy.
Lumpy. Yeah,
okay. Right. So let me ask you real quick, thoughts on casting in the movie. What'd you think of the cast of the movie? Because it's a little bit different, like, how you would think, as far as, like, their characters from 1933.
By comparison?
Yeah, like Denim. Jack Black is Denim. Like, that is kind of ballsy, I think.
Yeah, I think it definitely... I definitely feel that was probably the biggest stretch.
Yeah. But I really like Jack Black.
I'm fine with him. I think it added a sensitivity to him, for one thing. And yet he also has, he gets a little, you know, he has the kind of the pathology that kind of, like, you know, he can't not get his movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like seeing Jack Black as Denim, I kind of go, oh, it kind of would, I would have been interested in seeing the sequel, like see him go through the part where, when Denim has all these people after him because he owes everyone money and all that kind of stuff. That might have been interesting.
Oh yeah, I think so. It's weird how Peter Jackson took the original script and tweaked the characters so that, like, Denim, he does become more crazed. I feel like in the original Denim, he's obsessed with capturing Kong, but in this one, it feels more like that almost seems like Denim's plan to begin with in the original. Like, he's definitely going to get Kong. And then in this movie, you see him become more obsessed as it goes along, and then use his like con man thing to like get other people to capture him.
That's a good point. That's a good point. In the sense where it's like, Denim is bringing gas bombs to Skull Island in the original.
Yeah.
And this one, they happen to have chloroform because they run a wild animal poaching ring on the bottom deck of the boat.
Yeah. And did you notice the gas bombs in the pile of chloroform?
No.
Up on the top right, in the back of that pile of chloroform, the original gas bombs from the old movie
are
there. The sort of like football shaped, like,
that's great.
Yeah. There are a lot of references to the original.
Lots.
I think my favorite,
I mean, there's so many things that are just kind of like recreations of great scenes in the original.
But there's a scene at the beginning where Colin Hanks, and who I liked in the movie, I like Colin Hanks, where Colin Hanks and Jack Black are trying to find a replacement actress for this trip, for the film.
Yeah.
And Jack Black says, what about Faye? She's a size 4. And Colin Hanks says, oh, she's working with Cooper. And Jack Black says, I should have known, Cooper, of course. And, of course, they talk about Faye Ray and... why can't I think of the name?
Who's Marion?
Marion Cooper. But at that moment, they play the original Godzilla theme.
Yum.
Or not Godzilla, the original King Kong theme.
They do? Yeah, I didn't notice that.
From 33.
That's great. Apparently they Peter Jackson wanted Faye Ray to do a cameo in the movie. Mm-hmm. But I think she passed away. What ended up happening?
Huh.
He wanted Fate Ray to be the one that says it was beauty that killed the beast at the end.
Instead of Denim.
Yeah.
What did you think of Naomi Watts?
Yeah, she died in 2004.
Oh, that sucks.
I liked her.
Yeah, I remember not liking her. And then when I watched it this time, I really liked her. Man, they put her through a lot in this movie.
So much.
It's crazy. And then...
First of all, her whole bit at the beginning, when you see her performing...
With the hat.
So good.
Yeah.
So many falls. So good. And you really fall for her because she goes up to the old guy and she's like, "Have you eaten?" And she says, "Take me to dinner." That whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that's really that's what makes you, you know, love that character.
I thought during that scene, I'm like, man, this is all very melodramatic. Like, there's a lot of melodramatic moments in it, but like by the time you get to the end of the movie, all of that shit like totally worked on me. Like, there's only one thing about the movie I didn't like, and it comes from the editing. There's a lot of shots where there's like this strobing effect, and I feel like that takes me out a little bit because it's so the attention to detail of it being like the 1933 and stuff.
Oh, is that like the slow mo bits?
Yeah, yeah. You see it. Like when they're looking at the map and you see like the ape face on it, or when you first see the natives.
Yeah.
It's something where I'm just like, there's so much attention to like I've seen things on the making of this where like the New York skyline is like accurate to that time period, and Times Square is accurate, and everything is like completely like down to the detail accurate. But then there's like these shots where it's like a strobing slow-mo effect. Yeah. Where I'm just like, it doesn't feel right. But other than that, I really enjoyed it.
That's the only stuff you didn't like?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so you're fine with the racial stereotypes.
Well, I mean, no.
Okay. You know,
my first thing, I was like, well, you know what? I thought the brontosaurus kind of looked a little weird.
Colin Hanks, I think it's Colin Hanks, who says it to Denim, when he says he says you won't like it, there's no alcohol. I'm really good at crapping the crappers.
Yeah, I don't know what that line is, but it's funny.
I don't know what that means either.
Like, I'm wondering if it's an old saying, but
it has to be an inside joke to be like, I'm someone you can trust, I'm a movie producer, right?
Yeah.
That's gotta be a laugh line. I wonder if it's the laugh line everywhere.
I don't know. I like how shady Denim is. He's really...
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Anything to get stuff done. I forgot Kyle Chandler was in this movie.
Yes. So...
And how great, because I'm going, that's two giant monster movies.
Okay, so he was in King Kong. He's in Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And then next year, he's in Godzilla vs. Kong.
That's amazing.
Can you imagine? If
anyone's going to do a Daimajin movie.
Uh-oh. I mean...
Or a gamer.
I wonder if he's just a fan. Like, I wonder, like, is that an accident? Like, how do you happen to be in two completely different King Kong movies and a Godzilla movie? Like, is he going to his agent and say, hey, I heard they're making a King Kong movie. Like, get me in there.
I don't know. I get it from him that he's a guy who I feel like he's a guy who likes to work.
Yeah. He's really good in this.
I don't know if he does that, but he's great. I'm happy to see him whenever he shows up.
Yeah. The bit where he goes into his room and someone's defaced his posters.
Yeah. And then he checks out, he puts the comb from his hand to see what the mustache.
He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that bit was kind of cool. Like, I don't know. There's just something about it. He was so self-absorbed that even after it got defaced, he like was like, oh, look at me. There's the mention of natives and their boobies.
All right. I liked when they the whole thing where he's asking about where they're going.
Uh-huh.
And he says, it has a local name. And you see he like the guy who is the kid who's basically on the crew,
Jimmy,
who was discovered, his whole bit. And and he was on the venture.
Yeah.
And the thing about how they find him, and he says, he talks about how he knows how to read. He's been reading.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't hear him say Skull Island, but then he sees the typing, the whole kind of like he sees SKULL get typed and stuff. And that was kind of cool, I thought.
Yeah. I really liked Denham trying to keep Adam Brody? No.
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody. Keep him on the boat long enough to where it was too late for him to leave.
Totally.
Like, such a great scene. I like that they had, like, a friendship. Like, apparently, like, you could tell that the friendship had gone back, like, maybe even beyond, like, when they became, like, a famous writer, a famous director. And you can tell that Denham was just using his old friend to, like, do this work for him. And then him, you know, keeping him on the boat and stuff. Like, all of that was really cool.
Yeah, but I don't think Adrian Boat, I don't think, I don't know his character's name, but I don't think he's,
his character was
Jack Driscoll.
Driscoll.
I don't think he's, a famous writer.
No, but
I think he's kind of a struggling writer. He's getting stuff produced, mostly comedy, mostly plays.
Yeah. It sounded like he was more like a local New York writer, because she knew about him.
She knew was about a fan. Yeah. She's in theater and she likes his writing. And and there was like a play that he was doing, so she wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing that gets her on the boat.
Yeah. And yeah. I liked him too. The Driscoll character, it seems like they took the Driscoll character from the original and split him into two parts between Kyle Chandler and Adrian Brody. Because Kyle Chandler played more of like what Driscoll was in the original movie. Was that it? Driscoll was the like the leading man, I think, in the original movie. Jack Driscoll. But they named the writer Jack Driscoll in this one. I don't know.
Well, there was no writer in the original. The writer would have been Denham, just being like, go to this.
Yeah.
And, well, for one thing.
But Driscoll was in the movie, right?
The character?
Yeah.
Is that the boat guy?
Bruce Cabot? No, hold on. I'm going to look it up real quick because I want to make sure I'm right on this. Because there's the girl that, there's the guy that's like the hero.
Jack Driscoll. His name's Jack Driscoll.
Yeah. And he was like more the hero.
Yeah, he was.
He was the leading man. And he was kind of boring in the movie.
Well, but Jack Driscoll was just
John Driscoll.
Jack Driscoll, credited as John Driscoll, is Jack Driscoll.
Okay.
In the King Kong franchise. But he is
was he a partner to Denham?
He was the ship guy. He was the first mate of the ship.
Okay.
In the original.
Okay.
So he's basically kind of like, almost like the captain guy. The guy who, he's almost like that guy.
Yeah. Okay. But it's Adrian Brody I really liked as well.
Yeah. And I think Adrian Brody was also kind of like, because I don't remember him playing tough guys before.
He might have done that Predators movie. But I don't know if he's a tough guy in this movie. I think he kind of gets forced into it. But I like.
Yeah, he gets forced into it, but he delivers.
Oh yeah, yeah. I like. He's great when he shows up at the top of the Empire State Building at the end. It's like you could tell what he's thinking. Like you could tell he feels bad. He's actually like, there's actually he's a Kong. Sympathizer.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I thought he was really good in the movie. I think I pretty much liked everybody in the movie. I don't think there's a single person I didn't care for.
I like one of the things I like that's different from the original is that this time they're making a movie with sound.
Oh,
like that. There's the detail of that.
Yeah. They recreated that Fay Wray scene with her and Kyle Chandler, where in Fay Wray and Bruce Cabot, where he's like talking about they're shooting on the deck of the ship, and he talks about dames on a boat. Like it was like the exact same dialogue from the original movie, but it was scripted dialogue in this one, as opposed to just actual what the characters were saying in the first one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was cool too. You could tell that Peter Jackson really loves King Kong.
Yeah.
This time around the buildup, all the stuff on the venture, I actually enjoyed a lot more. Because it's one of those things like when we saw like Godzilla 2014 and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting for Godzilla to show up, at least in this. And then you see it the second time and it's like easier to watch because you know what to expect. In this one, I was actually really enjoying the stuff on the venture quite a bit. I thought that was fun. And it looks like they built a real ship. And I like that the boat had a big empty spot on the deck, like a tarped area, so that you know how they get Kong back. I don't think it was made clear in the original.
Right. So, I think, yeah, that was definitely like, I think that was a thing when I was reading about the development of the original King Kong, where they were not bothering with figuring out how to get him on there.
Yeah, because he says Kong, the eighth wonder of the world, and then it does a hard cut to the marquee. And right. In this one, they do this a similar thing, but by setting up the fact that the boat has a big, huge, empty deck with the tarp on it, it lets you know, oh, that's how they're going to get Kong back.
Plus, in the 70s Kong, there's boat time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like every Kong leading up to the whatever the newest Kong is, you know, we all have the information of the previous Kongs as well. So yeah. So.
I remember when I first saw the movie, when the venture comes into the fog and it starts kind of teetering around the rocks, I thought that was like a little too cartoony, but for some reason this time around, I was okay with it.
I was fine with it.
Yeah. I maybe just when I had this sequence in my head a little bit differently. Watching the actors in this movie made me wonder which I would rather be in if I were an actor. Would I rather be in this kind of a Kong movie or Kong Skull Island kind of a Kong movie? And I was like, I like the period clothes and like the Tommy guns and stuff. I think as soon as I saw like the Tommy guns, because I was thinking in Skull Island, you get to walk around like army men with like machine guns and stuff. And that'd be a lot of fun because there's a lot of monsters. And then as this movie went along, I'm like, oh, well, shit, they get to wear like cool period pieces and then have Tommy guns and fight all kinds of monsters. I feel like I would rather be in this movie than Skull Island. And watching it this time around, I think this movie bumped ahead of Skull Island.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I the original is always going to be my favorite. I love the original. But I remember, I haven't seen this in a long time, but when I saw Skull Island, I'm like, cool, it's different, and there's a lot of fun stuff going on, and it's like, it's refreshing. But then watching this again, it's like, God, it shot so well. It looks so nice. And
it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was definitely watching this movie going, man, if I was, you know, early teens, like if I was like 12 to 14 when this movie came out, this would probably be my favorite movie.
Yeah. I can't put this in my top five. I know we're not there yet, but because I like the original more, but man, I really enjoyed this movie this time around.
Yeah,
I'll probably go get they have it on, I have it just like ripped from an old DVD, but I think I'm going to get they have like a 4K version out on like iTunes. And I'm like, oh, I kind of want to get it. I want to see how good it looks in 4K. But I was really surprised. As I was sitting there watching it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is nonstop. Like, nonstop. It's so crazy. Like, 45 minutes is not a long time to wait to get, you know, 2.5 hours of nonstop everything.
It kind of felt like they were making the original King Kong movie. Like the actors in the movie. That's the movie they were trying to make.
Oh, like Jack Black was trying to make.
Yeah, it's like that's the movie they wanted to make would have been the original 1933 King Kong movie.
Yeah. I liked when they told Kyle Chandler to get in the frame, otherwise the dinosaurs look fake. That made me laugh.
Yeah. Oh, man, those were cool. The Morse code when they're sending they're receiving the Morse code that's basically saying that there's a warrant out for Denham's arrest.
Oh, yeah.
A little trivia I found out. Uh-oh. That the beeps in the Morse code, if you listen to the soundtrack, actually say, "Show me the monkey."
Oh, my gosh. This is a little bit dated. The sequence, the fog sequence with the rocks and stuff. I like that some of the rocks had like kind of vague gorilla faces in them, but some were like that one that kind of was like right at the surface of the water and like at low tide and like it would be like a gorilla face popping out of the water. But I
like
that.
It's like a dragon. There's like one that was like a dragon face, seemed like a dragon face, and there was a carved stone. Yeah, I wrote. Yeah, I was like, "Is that an ape stone?" Yeah, it was cool. The ruins set, so good.
Yeah. Natives.
Here we go.
What?
Man, that was violent.
It was brutal. It was brutal. Definitely the most scary natives.
The most scary natives.
They have makeup on. But I don't know if it's just to make them look weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of like face alteration stuff, a lot of like piercings or raised things and stuff. And
are we okay with them?
I don't know.
I want to say at the time there was a controversy, and I don't know if it was for these natives or the performers in the
performers
Broadway show.
I definitely have a problem with the performers in the Broadway show.
Okay.
There's definitely visible like blackfaceness and like the light makeup around the eyes and mouth and stuff. There's definitely that going on there.
It's so weird to like, but I mean, like I mentioned, like the attention to detail, that's what it would have been like. But at the same time, do we have to see it?
Yeah.
It's tough. I don't know.
Yeah,
like, I guess you don't have to.
I don't know the answer to that one. It's tricky. It's very tricky. It's right now. This is a period where I wonder, like, if certain movies, like, and if we take this movie out of it, we just go further back to the movies where it's obvious. It's obvious and worse. I mean, some worse is I guess it's the stereotypes more than anything. But anyways, if you go further back, it's like take example like Breakfast at Tiffany's, which is always an example I go to, and it's like I sit and I wonder how I would feel about people going back and editing those scenes or something.
Yeah.
Like taking those scenes out, almost like the way, you know, people take down Confederate statues, like in that sense. Like, and I was like going like, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, there's definitely people who I'm sure are fine about preserving the movies, but I definitely feel like I'd be in the mood to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's more often if those scenes weren't in there.
Yeah.
Or the same way as like showing my kid King Kong 1933, you know, I'd be like, man, let's just watch this dinosaur sequence, and then all right, that's it.
yeah,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know either. At the 1 hour and 10 minute mark for my version,
yeah, mine too. Kong shows up.
Kong shows up.
I liked the way they made that drawbridge system.
Yeah, that was a neat addition.
That was a cool thing for the thing, and it was interesting how the way they devised that the natives get around by doing the pole vaulting thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically was that Last Jedi when they started doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So King Kong. Let's talk about him.
Okay.
He's pretty much just a gorilla, right? Like, there's not really anything. I mean, other than his size, obviously. There's not, like, he's not stylized in any way, right? He just looks pretty much a straight-up gorilla.
He's a gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Do you prefer that?
Oh, you see, that's one of the things I was wondering. I was thinking about, like, when King Kong 1933 gets made,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to make a gorilla.
Okay.
And they end up with something that's kind of, you know, like a biggest foot, right?
Yeah.
That's how he ends up being made.
Yeah.
But I think they were aiming for a gorilla.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I think so. Yeah.
We assume that what they wanted was a big gorilla movie.
Yeah.
And so here,
they make it a giant gorilla.
Yeah. They succeed in the shape of the body and the way it moves. It's a giant gorilla.
Yeah. Skull Island goes for
Bigfoot.
Yeah, it goes for like the original
Missing
design.
Link.
Yeah.
Giant. Yeah. And in a way, and it's like, and 1976 is kind of somewhere in the middle, because
it looks like a gorilla, but it's a dude.
He totally looks like a gorilla, but he stands up like a regular guy.
Yeah.
So as far as preference go.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I like this one a lot.
Yeah. And then Andy Serkis.
But I like seeing him get upright too, though. I mean, I like seeing Godzilla stand like a man.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool looking. I don't know. This is very good. I don't know what.
Yeah. It's hard. And the performance, Andy Serkis's performance, like, it's the most human, expressive. I don't know. He's really good.
Supplementary material for the movie, which might be that book that's coming, describe him as a Mega Primatus Kong, which is the speed. That's the name of the species, which is a likely descended from Gigantopithecus. Yeah, it's so well achieved. They're all King Kongs to me, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
I totally get. When, you know, when they're explaining why in Skull Island that they went with that, you know, mm-hmm. John Roberts, he has like explanations that he was aiming for the look of 1933 Godzilla, which was more
upright.
Jordan Vogt Roberts. More the upright type of Kong. And I thought that was a great choice. Thought it was cool.
Yeah.
He's a cool looking Kong, but it doesn't take away from this Kong being just a big giant gorilla. There's appeals to both
mm-hmm.
for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote, this is a gorilla.
Yeah. It's like if you go to your emoji keyboard and put in gorilla, it literally looks like this King Kong.
Yeah. I wrote, so at this point he's grabbed the girl, right? So I wrote, like, what's Kong's problem? Because he grabs her and he takes her, but he's still like complaining and rustling and doing all this kind of stuff. And then I read, is he home? I couldn't tell if he was at his house yet, whatever we would call his house, because he was in front of the cave. But he was like going this whole thing. I was like, what's his problem? Okay. So, yeah, the brontosaurus sequence with the what they're called are venatosaurus.
Uh-huh. The raptors.
Those little raptor-like guys in between. Pretty great.
Yeah. I think maybe the effects looked a little dated as far as like the compositing with the people sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah.
There's kind of a lot of people running around with like just mayhem happening around them.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, there's only so much I could believe. But I really didn't care because I thought the designs were cool.
So they were really cool.
Like essentially
this Kong was scarred up. He had tons of scars all over his body. He'd been through already a lot of life.
Yeah. And then in the T-Rex fight, I think he gets more scars.
Yeah.
That T-Rex fight,
Vastatosaurus Rex.
It's nuts. It's crazy. It goes.
It's the fact that it's like he fights three of them.
Yeah, and he's juggling her, and then they get
pulled. The juggling of her is so good. Yeah. He drops her, catches her with his other hand,
and then the bottom foot.
At another point, he actually tosses her to another hand.
Yeah.
Just because he has to do something with his free hand that he had to free up. And then when he catches her, with his foot hand.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so good.
My favorite moment.
And it's so long.
Yeah.
And then in the vines, it continues.
Yeah.
But that shot her when she lands on the rock and she's like, oh. And then you see the teeth are so gnarly. They're growing above the jawline. They're so nuts.
Yeah.
So good.
What's my favorite moment is when they get through the vines and it's just Kong versus one T-Rex. And she's standing in front of Kong and then she backs up underneath him. As where she's like, okay, you're my protector now.
Yeah, you're the one. You're the person.
And then they recreate the original fight. That whole sequence is the original fight from the 33 movie where he's tumbling and punching and then breaking the jaw. Except at one point he bites the tongue out of the T-Rex.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
I had to back it up. Yeah, I was like, what? Because it looked like he did something, but Becky's like, did he just bite his tongue out? And then we backed it up, and sure enough, he bites it, and then it like spits, like you see it, flying off the side, and the whole thing with the broken jaw, and he does that move where he kind of like tests it, like he moves it, so good. I like how the only thing that he likes is pratfalls. That's the only entertainment he
gets. Yeah. He is not impressed with the juggling. Because he can juggle himself.
Everything else, he's so bored.
Yeah.
He's like,
And he sticks his nose up at her.
That part was cutesy. I thought it was really cutesy, like trying to put a lot of personality into him. But it works though.
That's what I'm saying.
I like him.
By the time you get to the end, you feel for these two freaking stupid characters.
It kept reminding me of Lonesome George, that Galapagos tortoise that died recently. That he was like the last of his species, and they just kept, they kept trying to see if they could. They kept finding other tortoises that were kind of close. She's like, maybe they can mate, and it never happened. And he passed away not that long ago.
Yeah.
It's like the whole thing where he just sits there. That shot of like the skeleton of the other Kong, whatever it was, and him just sitting there, and all he has is the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
And that comes back later. I don't want to get into later yet, but
some George all of this,
all this stuff like with her and him. Completely works. A giant CG ape. And you totally feel for the giant CG ape.
So apparently Andy Serkis basically did double duty. Aside from just playing Lumpy. He did gorilla suit work on set. Okay. And then mocap afterward.
Yeah.
So he did gorilla suit stuff that she could react to.
It worked. Because when we watch Rampage, we were talking about the character George and how it was like the most personality we've seen. And I was watching this again, And I felt bad for George, but in this movie, I'm like, I'm behind Kong 100%. Yeah. Like, it's not even, like, I don't even think of it as a CGI ape. I don't even think of it as, like, it's weird. It's a character, and I feel totally emotionally invested in it. Yeah, and even though I've seen this movie several times, I really, towards the end, got really kind of bent out of shape. I was like...
Oh, man. Yeah, let's not get there yet.
Yeah, yeah,
let's
yeah.
say that.
Yeah, yeah.
The log scene, recreating the log scene, fantastic.
Uh-huh.
The
spider pit isn't the spider pit so much as it's a all kinds of bugs pit.
Well, so was the original spider pit.
Yeah.
Apparently it was all kinds of bugs. Well, first of all, I get that centipede thing.
Which one? The one that eats Lumpy's head?
No, the centipede that goes after Naomi Watts.
Oh, in the log?
Yeah, after there's the, what it's called, the Photodon, the thing that looks kind of like a Komodo dragon.
Yeah. Oh, it looked like Jiger. It reminded me of Jiger.
And then the centipede comes out. Yeah, click, 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 click.
And it goes into the log and, like, the antenna on her mouth and stuff.
Yeah. That creeps me out.
Yeah, and it's CG, but it does. It looks so good.
It's so good. And also just because centipedes, they skeeve me. Because all the time in Hawaii, centipedes was a thing you had to deal with.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, man.
The spider pit.
The spider pit was so good. It's so...
There's like these crickets or potato bugs or...
Yeah!
The ones that were on Colin... No, on Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
They look so good. And I don't, for a minute, believe that you could shoot them off accurately with a machine gun.
No, I don't either.
But I was kind of like, okay,
Guy who's never held a gun before?
Yeah.
The guy they don't give the gun to is the guy who's shooting him up, and he's like, he's asking him to do it.
Yeah.
He's like, the one in the face, help me get the one off my face.
Yeah. But it's kind of a pulp adventure movie, so...
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, hit it? Stab it? I don't know. A machine gun, I feel like, is too random.
Yeah.
To just pick off giant bugs. But they looked really cool.
It is, but yeah, I gave it a pass. There's so many critters in that. The whole thing with like the light going out, yeah. All that kind of stuff, where like they're in the cave and like you just see bit parts of them. You don't even get to see them yet.
Yeah.
There's definitely some big spidery things in there. And then they kind of tuck back in and they start coming out again. Very scary. I thought it was really well done. Those bat creatures.
Oh, with the glowing eyes.
So good.
Yeah, they use those instead of
pterodactyl.
Pterodactyls.
Yeah.
The fish creature. You know, me and fish. That kind of like weird. I think in the movie, it's in the 33, it's like a sort of a brontosaurus type of a creature in the water. Or an eel or something. But in this one, it's like a weird kind of like grody swamp fish, almost catfish like. That thing creeped me out.
Why am I not remembering this one?
When they're on the raft. Oh, did you not get it? Is that one of my things?
Oh, I wonder if that's one of yours.
Ah, because if we both got to Kong at 1 hour and 10 minutes, that means everything, the additional 20 minutes I got, were all Skull Island stuff. So there's a point where they get attacked by a giant fish.
Oh, by the way, those giant potato bug looking things, they're called Weta Rex.
Oh, so those are Wetas. They're based on the Wetas, which is like a cockroach in New Zealand. And what Peter Jackson named his company after. Those were cool. I thought those were the coolest looking ones. They look so real. And then the slugs that were eating Andy Serkis when they're eating Lumpy. Those had a really cool look to them, especially the mouth part that was going over his head
and he was trying to hit it with
the machete. Like there was a kind of a translucent look to the thing that looked really real to me. I think all the bugs were my favorite part.
Me too. Deflector is the ones that are like part spider, part crab, or scorpion. Those things. Those are deflectors. Carnictus are the ones that are like the big leechy, sluggy
tentacle
things.
Oh, one is just sliding over his head.
That fish. Yeah. Yeah, that whole sequence was crazy. It's all part of that. Oh, okay. Pteropus Mordax are the big bat-like creatures.
Okay. I like that their eyes glow.
Oh, okay. I see. There's a section here where they have... Oh, I'm going to have to find this long version. I know what you mean. The Pteranodon?
Yeah.
Is that what the Pteranodon is?
I think so.
It's like a piranha? Like a long piranha eel thing?
It had kind of a greenish tint to it.
Whoa.
Here, let me see if I... Let me...
Well, it's in murky water.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's
almost like the thing in Lost World or Jurassic World.
Yeah, that's it. It you know what it looks like? It kind of looks like the creature from that movie The Host that we saw.
Oh, it kind of does.
Yeah.
There was a toy of King Kong versus the Pteranodon.
Oh, really? And then it got cut from the movie? The Pteranodon?
Yeah, I guess, but they made a toy from it. Yeah, he does. He looks like the Mosasaurus.
Yeah, check out the longer version. I'm probably just going to get it on iTunes. It's 4K and all that stuff. And I feel like I need to put this movie in regular rotation. It's a lot of fun. I don't really have any Skull Island notes.
Wait a minute. Did you get a bird in yours?
A bird.
Brutornis? Like a big ostrich parrot beak item?
Oh, was he dying?
No.
Is he on the ground dying? Because yes. After they're shooting like into the jungle, Lumpy hits. Yeah, it looks like an ostrich, but his face is a little bit like lizard-like.
More of a dinosaur?
It doesn't have a beak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like a gigantic puppet, like a full, it's not CG, and it's on the ground.
This.
It's on the ground, like flopping around, like its legs and stuff. It's really disturbing. And they're all just kind of staring at it like, ugh. And then Lumpy like shoots it in the head to kill it. It's kind of disturbing, but yeah, that thing. Yeah. You should check out the extended version, I guess. Cause the way it sounds, it's at least like 20 to 30 minutes of Skull Island stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah. It's more monsters.
Wow.
I mean, I guess it makes sense if you're going to cut stuff out, you don't need the monsters to propel the story, but it sounds like all the venture stuff and the New York stuff was left untouched. And Skull Island is where it got most of the edits. I want to talk a second. Oh, maybe I'll talk about it a little later. I want to talk about the music, but I'll do that when we get to the New York scenes. More specifically, the reunion. So Jack Driscoll is going to go find Anne. And the rest of the guys are like, well, we're not going with you. She's dead. And then Denham gets it in his brain that, you know what, if he brings her back, Kong's going to follow, so let's be ready for it.
Right.
And there's that whole scene where they're trying to lower that bridge, the sacrifice offering bridge. And Jack Black's like, no, not yet, not yet. And he's like waiting and waiting for them to get closer. And it's like he's full on obsessed now. And then there's the scene where they capture Kong, and it's just super heartbreaking. Where she's yelling at him to go and to leave and run away.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, more chloroform, more chloroform. And they're just like, they got those guys kind of hiding behind the rocks with the sort of giant hooks and chains. And you're like, oh, this is bad. This is real bad. And they're throwing chloroform, and they drop the net on him to make sure his face is down closer to the chloroform. It's just like, ugh. It's brutal. It's pretty bad. But yeah. And then they, unless you have more to talk about Skull Island, they take him to New York.
Yeah. I'm on New York anyways. Yeah.
And, that curtain, when they open the curtain, Jesus, It's the most sad, pathetic.
He's so depressed.
It's insane. And the when the fake Ann Darrow gets raised up, like there's that moment where he breaks out of his funk, and it's just it's heartbreaking. And you're like, oh my gosh, the only thing he wants is to be with her. And like you can tell, like through the movie, like it's gotten to the point where she wants to be with him, and you know, take care of him.
Their marriage. What? Huh? Is that where you're going?
But it's like the relationship is built up, and it's like when he sees that it's a fake one. I like that. I like that motivation. But
that's what sets him off.
Yes, it's not just the flashbulbs. It's the fact that it's not Anne, and then the lights adding to the confusion of the situation. That sets him off. I thought that was cool. I like that. I like that. Other than it's just the flashbulbs.
Yeah,
it's more than that. So it's like things like that that Peter Jackson add to this to the story that really, really brings like this emotional weight to this, you know, monster movie.
Oh, hey, you know, this reminds me, because I was just thinking that when Kong in that book that I was reading, Kong and May, The Lost Film of Skull Island, mm-hmm. one of the things they talked about was after the 1933 release, there was the code that they put on the movies. You know, when the movies had a certain code, mm-hmm. they had, and so stuff got removed from the original King Kong. And one of the things that got cut out of King Kong when they released it later, they've been restored. Like the one you see now has the old stuff put back into it. But the one that was one of the things that was cut out of it was the whole thing where Kong would pick up women and they wouldn't be Anne, and he would throw them away.
Oh, yeah.
And drop them.
Yeah.
And so that stuff wasn't – that was cut from the original Kong for a period of time until, like, I think the 70s when it finally got restored again.
Mm. And he does that to this – saw
Kong in, like, the 30s, later in the 30s or in the 50s when they did a re-release, like an anniversary release or something, that still had these edited versions.
Yeah. And he grabs that fake Anne and tosses her –
he tosses it all. And then so many of them.
The best part, or one of my favorite parts, is when Kong sees Jack in the empty theater, and he jumps up to the balcony,
and it breaks,
and it just collapses underneath him.
It's so good.
Yeah, like that.
That was a great new detail in it. I thought was really cool.
Yeah, because you don't really get to see him come out of the theater in the original. He might just bust out through the front, but just seeing him trying to get out through that, so good. And the whole thing is you can tell, like, so he's going and he's doing his destruction, and he keeps on grabbing blonde women,
because
he's frantically looking. I like that Jack Driscoll notices that and decides to drive Kong, use himself as bait to drive Kong to Anne.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It's a shame he should have put a blonde wig on. He should have done the Bugs Bunny.
Oh, my God.
But he drives him. He pulls Kong away from the busy streets to find a part that was much more quiet. Yeah. It was pretty great.
And then Kong rips the hood off the roof off of the car.
Yeah.
He's just like still driving around with it. Like, all of that stuff was really good.
Some people were bummed that they didn't recreate the train scene.
Yeah, there is a train.
Yeah, you see a train for a second, but yeah.
And it does get knocked off of the train.
But it's fine. I don't mind it. I mean, everything else was so good in it.
Yeah.
When Kong finally sees Anne.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's one of the parts I remember from the movie. It's like when I think about this movie. That part totally got me this time around. I was like super invested in the movie, and I was like, man, this is so good. And I want to talk a little bit about the score.
Okay.
Because this part stands out. It's really good. James Newton Howard did the score for this movie. He is my second favorite composer of all time. I love James Newton Howard. He wasn't the original composer. So Howard Shore, who did the Lord of the Rings movies,
yeah,
did a score for this movie, and it got rejected. It didn't work out.
Ooh.
Howard Shore is in the movie. He's the conductor at the theater or for the Kong show.
Oh, man.
They did keep some of his stuff. Like, I think he did the arrangements because they used the original Kong music in that show that they did in the show in 1933. So they used his arrangements on some of this stuff. But James Newton Howard came in and had, I think, 4 or 5 weeks to do the score. And he was recording in 3 sound stages, music concert places. He was recording in 3 different places simultaneously. And this is like before Skype. So, but he'd never met Peter Jackson in person. Peter Jackson was editing the film in New Zealand while James Newton Howard was doing the score in Los Angeles at 3 different sound stages. And so he had like 5 weeks to do it. And the score is really incredible. I have like the expanded version. And it
with the Piranodon music.
Yeah. It's got everything. It's got like even alternate cues and stuff. It's
oh really?
Yeah. But that moment when she comes out of the mist and you know it's her.
Yeah.
And she comes out and it's just like this crazy moment where you're just like, this is it. This is what King Kong is about. And
this is the part. This is like when Becky goes, so what does King Kong want?
is she his favorite action figure?
She's like, where is he going with this? I think she's more than a toy to him.
I feel
a doll?
Like,
I don't know. Is it a doll?
Well, like, the thing is, it's like...
Like a security blanket?
So Kong doesn't have a family. Kong's the last of his kind.
He's got nothing.
He spends his whole time... He has sunsets. The only thing he does is fight monsters all day. Every once in a while...
It's a drag being the last Kong in just a world of... Like, all the other monsters do kind of respect him, it seems like.
And it's seen... And
like,
I feel like...
Like, when they hear the roar... Mm-hmm. Like, there's a thing. Oh, by the way, they said something like the roar was the roar of a lion played backwards and slowed down, I think.
Oh. But I'm sure the natives have sacrificed women before, and they probably just scream and scream and scream until he eats them.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. Like, when he first grabs her, and he's still freaking out after he grabs her and he takes her to wherever he stops her, mm-hmm. and he's still doing it, like, what's his problem? I go... He's been dealing with other sacrifices, and this is what he's got to do with sacrifices or something. I don't know. Mm. And how do the other ones last? Because when she gets there, it's just full of bones and skeletons.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, there's a thing. I think it was a thing that I read that I believe it was Andy Serkis who basically he said that Kong should be a vegetarian.
Oh, really?
That he shouldn't eat
like gorillas, right? They eat bamboo.
Yeah, they might eat everything, but I think gorillas more than chimps probably eat definitely more plants than.
Doesn't he bite down on the guy?
But he when spits they're trying him to catch out or him? Something.
Yeah,
yeah, he doesn't eat them. As opposed to Skull Island Kong, he eats people.
Yeah. And octopi. That sequence with all the melodrama and stuff in the movie, like that sequence completely works for me. And I remember originally not liking the sort of ice skating thing.
Yeah.
But this time around, I really enjoyed it. It was a nice quiet moment because we've been spending like 2+ hours on Skull Island and in New York, like nonstop action. It's like a quiet moment. It's the last quiet moment before things go south again. And I really liked it. I think
there was definitely something about it that, it makes, I thought maybe it felt a little long for me maybe. And it is definitely schmaltz.
Yeah.
And it's definitely like, we're going to pause the movie now and do this thing. The effect it has for him to get shot in the back after that,
uh-huh.
is phenomenal because
Yeah.
that shot is shocking.
Yeah.
And in that sense, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
So after that happens, I go, okay, well, I'm
Yeah.
fine with it.
I feel
But
like I feel like
when it's happening, you kind of go like, oh, I forgot about this bit.
but
And it goes forever.
but I feel like we all, like, fans of Kong know it's not going to be a happy ending.
Yeah.
So it's
It just
nice to kind of have
gives
that.
you a moment to like, all right, we're not going to kill him just yet.
Yeah, but and I guess we know since it's coming that it's kind of a bummer, but I feel like, yeah, it's kind of nice to have their kind of moment to be together, and then that shit gets pulled out under the rug, and it's awful.
Yeah.
There's the part where the military guy is talking to, like, pumping up his troops, and it's really over the top. And he's like, we're going to get this guy and we're going to slaughter him because...
Oh, right.
And I'm like, this guy's kind of annoying. And then right then, Kong takes out that truck. I'm like, okay, cool. So, Empire State Building.
Yeah.
God, the music swelling as he's climbing. It's like so heroic, but I mean, it sucks because we know what's going to happen. But it's like Kong's last stand. But just seeing him climb up with Anne and using his one hand to climb up and then his feet to kind of push himself up. It's so good. All of that stuff on the Empire State Building is so good. The biplanes look really cool. There's some really good shots of the biplanes.
There is, you know, there's a cameo of the pilots on the plane.
I know
kill
one
Kong.
Of them. I know
one of them. Go ahead.
Frank Darabont is one of them, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Is he? I don't.
Yeah.
I heard it.
I think there's a couple guys.
Well, Peter Jackson's one of them.
Yeah, he has a cameo in all of his movies. Frank Darabont.
And I thought Rick Baker was one of them.
Yeah, Frank Darabont is a gunner in one of the planes. Who did you say?
I thought Rick Baker was one. Am I wrong?
Yes, Rick Baker is the pilot, and Frank Darabont is his gunner.
Okay.
But yeah, Rick Baker doesn't have his beard, so he looks a little bit different. That's nice. It's like a callback. Because did he perform as the man in the 1967 or 76?
Yeah, I think he was in the suit.
Yeah. He is also, do you remember Kentucky Fried Movie? There's like the gorilla in the news studio, like during an animal segment, and it gets loose in the studio. Do you remember that part? And it comes bursting through the wall behind the anchor man.
No, but go on.
But that is Rick Baker also.
Oh, really?
And he created that gorilla suit. It's actually a really good suit. It's less upright. It looks like he likes performing it as a real gorilla. If you get a chance, check out that bit part.
Cool.
The sequence, it's so sad.
There's a moment when Anne gets up there, mm-hmm. and she's like, she's under his legs, and she's like stopping.
Yeah.
Stopping the planes, and they turn and they fly. I was like, oh, they stopped the planes. Yeah. Oh, great. I'd forgotten. I was like, oh, they stopped the planes. Great. And then, oops, I guess they didn't stop the planes.
No. And that moment where he's like sliding down
and his head, just looking his at chin,
it. Yeah.
His chin is stuck on. Well, first is the moment of where he looks at the sunset again.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she's like, beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, he does the hand motion. He does the sign language.
Oh, yeah. He does the thing. He
for,
does the
for
thing.
Beautiful, but I'm assuming he just thinks that's the sign language for sunset. But it's really for beautiful.
It's cheesy. Sometimes Becky and I'll do a thing where we, like, I'll tap my heart if we're in a situation where I like saying I love you is stupid or ridiculous, or for some reason I just kind of do like a heart tap, or if it's an emotional moment or something, I'm like, I just kind of do that, mm-hmm. and then she's like, oh, they do our thing. Oh, but man, he flops off, and the way the head stays and the chin just kind of slides. Yeah. And, oh, God.
It's
how come they never address the people that get squished?
Do they?
I always assume someone must have.
They have to see him falling.
They're moving. They're trying to keep people away. And then the photographers, you know, it's like we talk, didn't we talk about before, like if there was a dead Kong, would you go up and touch it?
Yeah.
Of
Well,
course you want
yes,
to.
I would, and yes, we've talked about that.
Yeah, and so and the way I like this, photographers are climbing up on him.
Yeah, to take a picture of like his face. Oh, and
Yeah.
then like the soldiers with their guns posing in front of it. It's like, oh, it's
Yeah.
so gross. It's like it's even worse than like I don't think they did that in the original, but it's even more heartbreaking
Yeah, you can't judge these people. They don't know. All
because
they
it's
know is a giant gorilla attacked their city.
yeah.
Yeah, but it's because we know the guy. We it was like, oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good.
It's such a sad ending. It's just that Beauty killed the Beast, and then like kind of fading to black as the camera pulls out. It's
Yeah.
just like,
So this movie had been in development since like 1998.
yeah.
So it's gone through iterations. Like
I think he was supposed to do it after The Frighteners, and then couldn't do it. Then got Lord of the Rings, and then they're like, okay, you can do whatever you want. You know. It won all kinds of Oscars and made all kinds of money, and then he was like, "Okay, cool, we'll do my Kong now." It's probably better that they waited. The what was it, 7 years or whatever? Because I mean, you wouldn't be able to do Kong like this. He might have, it would have been CG, but not look as good. Like if Gollum didn't come first, Kong wouldn't look like this.
Good point.
It's. I can't believe how much I liked it. Like I've seen it before. I bought it on DVD and I watched it a few times, but for some reason, yeah, and it's not like I watched Rebirth of Mothra before it, so it wasn't like a comparison thing. It just, yeah, I don't know. It just struck me the right way, this time around.
Oh, so the original development of Kong. Oh, wait a second. When was this? Oh, Robert Zemeckis was brought in as executive producer. So I think this is when.
Zemeckis produced Frighteners, which Peter
So when
Jackson
he
directed.
started, when he was starting to put it together, trying to do, they had like there was like it's a completely different type of script, I think. It looks like the stuff here, it says like that Anne was kind of more of a Lara Croft character, and they're gonna do in New Zealand, and they said, hold on, and Weta started working on it, and then what killed it was the 98 Godzilla and the 98 Mighty Joe Young both flopping, that killed the whatever the.
What's funny is around the same time, the Eon Productions wanted Peter Jackson to do the next James Bond movie, but then Barbara Broccoli saw Frighteners and said, "Nope." She hated Frighteners. But it's funny that all of this stuff happened, and then right after that, he got Lord of the Rings. Because I think they started shooting Lord of the Rings in 99 or 2000. When did those, I don't remember when those movies
Oh,
started
yeah,
coming
because
out.
Jackson wrote a script in 96.
Yeah.
Man.
That's crazy how shit works out.
Yeah, this worked out.
Yeah, I'm glad it got made. I guess it didn't do what they were hoping. But man, can you imagine if they did a Son of Kong sequel? That would have been fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a. It's you could. There's so much heart in this movie.
Yeah.
There's so much. It's like the way, like when you see Shape of Water, is just like this love letter to the creature from the Black Lagoon by Guillermo del Toro, and this is basically that same kind of thing. It's just a love letter to 1933 King Kong. It's so good, so well realized.
I can't put it in my top five because
No, but it's.
because I think the original should be there first, but this movie's so good. It's so good.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but it definitely. I think I'd put it in top 10.
Yeah, I think so.
And low.
Like 7 or 8?
I'd put it. I'd put it.
Six?
I don't know. I mean, it's. I mean, part of it's because it's fresh.
Yeah.
It's the length does make it a little hard to.
Yeah.
go back to and watch over and over again. But it is so good. What won Best Picture that year?
2005.
So it would be the 2006.
Yes.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. It came out the same year as Revenge of the Sith. That's weird. So yeah, 2006 Academy Award.
Animated cinematography, directing, documentary, film. I should have Best Picture.
Crash.
That's not. It's not nominated. Not even a nomination.
Didn't Crash win?
Yeah, Crash won.
Yeah, Capote, Munich, Brokeback Mountain, Goodnight, Good Luck. That's pretty good. I wonder if it got it.
If it got any awards?
Or got nominated.
It didn't get nominated for Picture. King Kong, 2005. It won 3 Oscars.
Oh.
Obviously sound.
Sound mixing, editing,
sound mixing, effects. Sound editing, and visual effects.
Nominated for art
nominated
direction.
For art direction, yeah.
Oh, Peter Jackson won a Golden Globe for Best Director. No, nominated.
Nominated.
And James Newton Howard got
James
nominated
Howard
for
was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this score. It's so good. It, yeah. We had a chance.
Sound and special effects, yeah. AFI got an AFI award. But AFI gives out a lot of awards. Mm-hmm. It's like, Jackson won the Saturn Award. Okay.
Cool. All right.
I'm sure a lot of people keep watching Crash over and over again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you think a monster movie, like a giant monster movie, would ever win a Best Picture?
I don't know.
Would it have to be something like Colossal, where it's mostly a drama?
No, I think if King Kong had been made, like this King Kong had been made later, it could have.
Yeah. I think now when they have like 10 nominees, I think it would have been nominated for sure.
I'm thinking post Silence of the Lambs winning.
This is post though, isn't it? Silence of the Lambs, yeah, like 91.
It is. But it's it's possible. It seems like, yeah, 91. The I guess. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. It's hard to make one like this.
Yeah, with the caliber of actors, like it's yeah.
And just to have that, yeah. They threw a lot of money around in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's definitely him riding on the high of the success of all the Lord of the Rings.
Well, I love it, and I think it's going to be in rotation a lot more for me.
Yeah, it's definitely like, because I hadn't seen it since I saw it in the movies.
Oh, okay.
And so to see it and be like, oh man, this was great.
Yeah, because when you suggested it, I was like, oh, it's kind of long, and yeah, it's King Kong, but it's not, you know, as good as the original. But I don't know what the deal was this time around, where I don't know if it's just not something I saw before or what, but
yeah. I really can't find flaws in it. It's just, yeah. I mean, obviously, well, there's stereotypes though.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You're Oh, by the way, something, have you heard of, this is,
I'm so afraid of what you're going to ask me right now.
The Mighty Kong, a Warner Brothers animated movie that was direct to video from 1998.
No.
Okay. Carl Denham is played by Dudley Moore. Ooh. And Darrow is played by Jodie Benson, King Kong as himself.
Okay, good. Glad he's still getting work.
It's a musical cartoon.
Wait a
second. And, but it's for kids.
Wait a sec. Okay.
So, he doesn't die at the end.
Okay.
He doesn't rip the jaw apart.
What is it called again?
It's called The Mighty Kong.
Have you seen this?
No.
I mean,
no, this is just one of the things.
Are we that, putting, all right, should I add it to the list?
We were talking about like, oh God, all the animated Godzillas and stuff, but, or like that one, Kong cartoon series, but I am curious.
Yeah.
I
I mean,
don't
we'll
think
add it
it's
to the
gonna
list.
be good,
It'll be on the list to
but
remind
we
us that
watched
it's
Rebirth of
there.
Mothra, so whatever. The yeah, this popped up because I yeah, after seeing Kong, and I was kind of on this King Kong kick, and I found that book, that Kong Unmade, the Lost Films of Skull Island, and seeing all these movies that were in development and never happened, and then that movie was referred to, and I was like, what is that? The fact that it's a musical.
Yeah, I mean, I'm putting it on the list.
It says it also has the waterfall shower scene, like in the 1976 movie.
Oh,
But again, I'm assuming it's not going to be.
that's really the only thing I remember from the 1976 movie is it's bloody and what's her name? I can't think of her
Just
name.
like.
Yeah.
That's that movie I saw. I remember seeing it, I think, a few times as a kid. And that movie also that's the Kong that made the Kong, and that's the Kong why I like Kong, I
Yeah.
think, because that was the one from my childhood. And yeah, I remember him on the boat being sad, and him grabbing her and bringing her into his little area that he's in, like the thing there. And and the mask of the head, the lead native, he his gorilla outfit, basically, for being thinking it was pretty cool.
We'll get to that soon. Or not soon, but
We'll get to this
eventually,
event.
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to talk about next episode?
Yeah.
This is gonna be like a weird one.
I forgot what it was.
Because we
Oh,
have no frame of reference.
right. This is
I
the one
looked
that
it
you
up.
said, just watch it. Don't look anything up. Just kind of watch it.
Yeah, I looked it
Your
up.
eye.
I looked it up and saw the pictures and didn't want to get let down. Like, I'm like, oh man, this better be what I hope it is. So I told you not to look at it. It's
Right.
the Latitude Zero, Eiichiro Honda. Apparently it's American Japanese co-production, and I think it's about warring submarines, but they're like futuristic submarines. So you'll be able to check that out on kaijupod.com, where you can also get links to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And yeah, I'm excited. This is a complete unknown, but it's Eiichiro Honda, so there's going to be some sort of fun, weird aspect to
I
it.
think it feels like Matango. Like that was kind of an unknown for us too.
Yeah,
We stepped into that.
So,
Even
yeah.
Atragon, it was kind of
Yeah,
like,
we knew Manda was in it.
yeah,
And then by the time we
but
watched it, we were just like, well, I'm
yeah,
more into
we knew Manda
Atragon.
was in it, but they didn't call it Manda.
Yeah. And we found out why it wasn't called Manda. So, yeah. Cool. Look forward to that. And yeah, until next time, I'm gonna get a 4K version of this movie.
Oh, that's. Oh, you're going meta.
Oh, I don't know. Well,
Until next time.
I was gonna go edit out the strobe slow motion shots, but
Yeah,
that also is.
I'll go make a non try to turn try to make a non-problematic 1933 King Kong.
Oh yeah. I mean take out the native the stereotypes. That's what I meant.
Oh boy.
And my only problem is
All right.
they should have been in a strobing steam. They would have got cut
Oh,
out.
that guy gets his head crushed. Like you, it was tense. You felt that that was gonna happen.
All righty.
Anyways.
Latitude Zero. Did I say that? I said Latitude Zero.
Latitude zero.